This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. The U.S. State Department and the FBI are working to free 17 missionaries kidnapped in Haiti over the weekend. Michelle McQuigg is here with the Weekend News Recap. Michelle is the Weekend News Editor with the Canadian Press. Hey, good morning, Michelle. So, Michelle, I know the details here are still a little bit sparse, but what do we know about the 17 people kidnapped? Who are they? Are we having a technical issue there with Michelle? I think I hear some sound in the background. Let's actually do a quick little pivot here. We'll give ourselves a second to reconnect with Michelle McQuigg. Daniel, I know you're in the middle of trying to connect with Michelle, but why don't we jump ahead to the Canadian Press Morning Business Minute with reporter Karen Rebo.
Canada's main stock index reached record highs in trading Friday, due in part to the strength of the energy sector as the price of oil climbed past $82 US per barrel. It's hovering around $83 a barrel this morning. Toronto's TSX index gained 108 points Friday to close at 20,928. New York's Dow Jones average surged 382 points and the Nasdaq added 73. In Tokyo this morning, the Nikkei index lost 43 points and our dollar is trading overseas this morning at 80.73 cents U.S. Facebook plans to hire 10,000 workers in the European Union over the next 5 years to work on a new computing platform. The company said in a blog post yesterday that those high-skilled workers will help build the metaverse, a futuristic notion for connecting people online that encompasses augmented and virtual reality. And coming up in business today, Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation is set to release housing starts figures for September. From the Canadian Press Business Desk, I'm Karen Rebo.
All right, so we've endeavored to connect with Michelle and we seem to have succeeded. Hey, good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Dave. I'm sorry about the internet gremlin over here.
We can always count on the internet being our friend on a Monday. So, Michelle, we've had these 17 missionaries who were kidnapped in Haiti over the weekend. What do we know about these 17 people? Who are they?
It's a good question, and we don't know a whole lot at this stage, but we did hear from a group called Christian Aid Ministries. They're the ones who released a statement, and everything we know is coming from them at this stage. All they've disclosed is that the 17 people consisted of one Canadian citizen and 16 American citizens, that we have 7 women, 5 men, and 5 kids in the group. We know that they were taken on Saturday in a place called Gantier, which is a bit east of Port-au-Prince, which is the Haitian capital, and that the group was visiting an orphanage at the time. This is all according to Christian Aid Ministries. That is about it in terms of what we know. We don't know ages or names or any kind of ransom demand has been made. But in terms of the group, it's now quite clearly established. We knew at the start that it was a missionary group, but now we have some more clear-cut confirmation on that front.
So, Michelle, what about the organization or the people that did the kidnapping? Who are they? What do we know about them?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. So there's been a real spike in gang violence in Haiti overall, and I'll come back to that. But this is a group called the 400 Mowozo Gang. Forgive me if my pronunciation is wrong. Apparently, it loosely translates to 400 inexperienced men. And this is a gang that's a fairly major one, and they control a fairly sizable region, apparently, east of Port-au-Prince, and includes Gantier. And they're the ones who are being blamed for this particular kidnapping. So they're one of many gangs, like I said, that have been in the mix in recent months, especially this year. Things tapered off a little bit after the Haitian president was assassinated earlier this year. And the earthquake, of course, a couple months ago also paused things a little bit. But there's been a report from the UN that's tracked a huge spike in gang activity from 400 Mowozo and others. They're saying that so far there have been about 328 kidnappings in the first 8 months of this year that are considered to be gang-related. That's compared to 234 for all of last year.
Michelle, I know that you said there's not necessarily official demands yet in terms of hostage demands, but who is responsible for the hostage negotiations at this point?
That's a very good question, actually. And we haven't heard a whole lot about this in terms of where it's going. The government, the Canadian government is being very quiet about all of this. They haven't even actually confirmed that there's a Canadian missing. So if there's government involvement from Canada's end, we're not privy to it yet because we're still waiting for a whole lot more confirmation of even more basic facts there. But obviously in Haiti itself, if they're dealing with these kinds of kidnappings quite regularly, which they are, and they've even had some quite high profile ones this year alone, they obviously have some mechanisms in place to try and start dealing with this.
Right. So has there been any response from the Haitian government, for example?
Not so far, to my knowledge. Okay. Now, worth noting that I was actually not on this weekend, but that could well have changed, too, in the early hours of today. So it's possible that I've missed something.
Which then allows us to shift gears to this, Michelle, because you have been on vacation for a couple of weeks now, not manning the weekend news desk at the Canadian Press.
No.
How was it? What did you do?
It was lovely. Nice to be able to switch off the news a little bit. That's always one of the bigger upsides of a break. But yeah, it was really nice. Very low key, but spent a lot. The big focus was to see people. Since social life has resumed and on weekends, I'm kind of out of the mix. This was a good chance to see a bunch of friends, going to spend the long weekend with family, something I don't normally get to do anymore. That kind of stuff. It was very nice indeed.
That does sound lovely. I'm actually going to be speaking to a couple of young journalism students today from the Voices for Connect, the Voices for Ability program, which I'm really excited
very
for.
Cool.
And one of the questions they're asking me is how do you stay on top of all these current affairs and all this news? And I'm like, relentlessly, just relentlessly,
yeah,
just constantly.
Yeah, you just... Yeah, just be at a state of high alert constantly and everything will be fine.
So, Michelle, you were eavesdropping a little
bit. No, detoxes are crucial, I have to tell you.
Michelle,
don't listen to Dave, students.
especially don't listen to Dave about anything he says, especially when he tells you, like, find a different career path, you'll be much happier. That's not true. That's not true. I love my job. Michelle, you were eavesdropping on us a little bit during the course of the last segment. You logged into the your Opal account a little bit. No, it's good. And I heard that you were a little bit curious about what we were talking about. Well, it's our daily poll question of the day, which folks can find at AMI Audio on Twitter, Accessible Media on Facebook. And the question is whether or not should political parties be allowed to run attack ads outside of election campaigns. Now, we did establish, and we talked about this on the news panel a few months ago, that the Ontario government did change election advertising rules that allows any party to run ads within a year of the election. But I saw a bunch of attack ads popping up on TV over the weekend, and it struck me 6 months out from an election, a little bit distasteful to see some attack ads.
Yeah, I didn't have the pleasure of seeing that, but that is quite the thorny question. So you want to hear my hot take on that one?
Hit us.
My poll answer?
Yeah, hit us.
I'm a no. If I'm voting in this poll, I'm a no. I have big time concerns about the political climate and political environment at the best of times. And having open season on attack ads, which, as we all know, can also be very prominent platforms for misinformation or things taken out of context. It's not the tool I would choose to foster more transparent and civil discourse. How about that?
That's a good answer. Michelle, thank you for this. We'll talk to you again for the news panel on Friday.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.